Support for WERU comes from our listeners and from Mabel Wadsworth Center, providing comprehensive sexual and reproductive health services to people in northern and eastern Maine since 1984. Insurance, Maine care, self-pay accepted, and reduced fees for uninsured clients. MabelWadsworth.org.
The time's 10 o'clock, and you are tuned to WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill and streaming online at WERU.org. All About Aging with your host, Peg Cruikshank, is up next.
Today, our guests are Amy Weishart, director of the Ellsworth Public Library, who will talk about services of interest to seniors. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you.
And Strabane musicians Hunt and Allison, who perform at schools, parties, weddings, library programs, dances, and jollifications of all sorts. They will discuss the benefits of music for healthy aging and will play some songs. Welcome, Allison and Hunt.
Thanks.
First, a couple of announcements and a note. The Maine Council on Aging is sponsoring an aging summit September 24th at the Augusta Civic Center. You can find out more information about that on the website of Maine Council on Aging. Then in October, on the 24th, there'll be a symposium on dementia sponsored by the University of Maine Center on Aging. More information on their website, University of Maine Center on Ageism. On this program, we focus on the positive aspects of aging, because the negatives get lots of attention and publicity. And one of the downsides that we do have to acknowledge is the existence of aging and of ageism. I'll have to break down the material on ageism into bite-sized morsels. So here's a beginning on the legal aspect of ageism. It's a 2009 Supreme Court decision. It made it harder for older adults than for other protected groups to win discrimination cases. Actually, they've won very few. Previously, a worker needed to show only that age was a substantial motivating factor in an employer's discrimination action, not the sole factor. But that was botched, I think, by the Supreme Court when they said that age had to be the only factor. And of course, that's very hard to prove. The Supreme Court ruled in 2000 that state employees cannot go to federal court to sue over age bias. Sandra Day O'Connor wrote that age discrimination is not like sex or race discrimination. Her reasoning was, quote, ageism does not define aging. Older people are not a discrete and insular minority, because all persons, if they live their normal lifespans, will experience it. This logic, of course, is seriously flawed, because at any given moment, older people are a minority group, about 13% of the population. If old workers are discriminated against, it's no comfort to tell them that they escaped this treatment when they were young. So much on ageism, and in the future programs, other nuggets on this bias. Now let's turn to Amy from the library and hear about services for older adults.
All right. Thank you again for having me on the show. I'm really happy to be here. So I'll talk a little bit about the services that we offer to seniors, which is certainly an important demographic for us. We serve everyone, of course. Seniors make good use of our library and our services. We offer a lot of resources for people who are on a limited income. So, of course, books, audiobooks, including some. We also have large print books, magazines, DVDs. That's a huge resource for people who maybe can't afford to purchase those materials on their own. We also will get books from other libraries if we don't have a particular book in our collection. So that's an important service that we offer as well. Libraries now are really building on a community connection for all people, but I think for seniors, it's really important. If you don't have a job to go to, you don't have a routine in your life, and you don't have that regular community connection, for a lot of people, visiting the library every week or maybe even every day is an important way to stay connected to the community. We see people who do come to the library every day. They make use of our services. They come to a program. We have a lot of ongoing groups like book groups. We have a knitting group. We have a chess group that meets every week. And so the library as a place where people can gather and meet is really important, I think, especially in a rural area. We're lucky that in Ellsworth we have the library, and we also have a senior center. We have Friends in Action, and they fill some of that need as well. And I think we complement services that they provide, so we can also provide that space for people to really connect and engage with their community. One important thing we also offer is technology help. So people can come in with a device and get some help using it. They can use our free public computers. We have a volunteer technology tutor who will work one-on-one with people for up to an hour at a time. So that's something that I think is underutilized for the senior population, and something we really want to get the word out about, because that's another way to stay connected is through technology. A lot of people don't know that if you can't physically get to the library, we do offer a delivery service. So if you are recovering from surgery or have a disability and just can't make it physically to the library, we will provide books for you. We'll get a volunteer to come deliver to your home or to wherever you are. And that's something that we are happy to provide if you call us or send us an email. So please do make use of that service. And that's a really important way for, again, people to stay connected to what we offer. We also find that as people age, sometimes they find themselves becoming caregivers for spouses or parents, and we offer a monthly caregiver support group, and that's in conjunction with the Eastern Area Agency on Aging. And that's just an informal group that meets once a month on Tuesday afternoons, and it's an opportunity for people who are caring for loved ones to just get some support, talk with each other. Often these are people who are really maxed out and don't have other sources of support, or they're providing support, so they need to talk with other people about what they're going through, and sometimes don't have a lot of opportunities to get out of the house and talk with other people. So that's another way that we provide that community support and that connection. We can also connect people with resources that they might need if they are a caregiver and don't know about some of the social services that might be available. So we can work with Eastern Area Agency on Aging to help people find some of those resources. And related to that, as people age, sometimes your health needs become more complicated. You need information about how to find really authoritative quality information about your health. So that's something that we also, you know, we're not health experts, but we're information experts, and we can help people find the best books and resources, online resources as well. There's a lot of information online, and so our job as librarians is to help people really focus on what's the best quality information. So do make use of us, and please do ask questions. That's what we're here for. And also, we're here to just recommend books. A lot of people make use of that service. So we love to just talk about books and other resources that we provide. And I'll just quickly add, too, that we have a really robust genealogy and local history section for people who are interested in delving into their family history and just learning more about local history in the area. We have the largest selection of local history resources in Hancock County. So, again, another great service we provide.
Amy, this is a wealth of information. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. And some of it I knew about, but other services I didn't know about. How wide a scope, when you get interlibrary loan, mm-hmm. How far out can you go from Ellsworth to get those books?
We can go all over the country. We start with Maine, so we look at libraries in Maine. Yeah. But if we can't find a certain book in the state, we will definitely look out of state. So, we can find not everything. Sometimes we get stumped and we can't find a book, especially if it's out of print. Yeah. But most things we can find for people. Yeah.
That's really good to know. Yeah. You could go outside to Maine. Mm-hmm. And the tech help, that's really worth publicizing, isn't mm-hmm. it? Mm-hmm. That someone can come into the library in Ellsworth and have a technician help them with their devices.
Mm-hmm. With their own device, or just using one of our computers to learn more about Facebook, email, any kind of technology that people might need to learn more about. So.
And a question about the delivery of books to the homebound. Mm-hmm. Any hope in Maine or in Ellsworth that we'll have a bookmobile?
A bookmobile would be great. I know the Portland Public Library does have one. That might be the only one in the state. It's certainly something, if we ever had the funding for it, I'd be into it. But it's not something in the works right now. But because it is, we are in a pretty rural area, I could see that being very useful.
I'm glad also that you emphasized the community connection, mm-hmm. because certainly in my area, Prospect Harbor, the Dorcas Library is the way retired people, can connect, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. so that it serves a function perhaps that Carnegie hadn't thought of in the old days, right. when libraries began. But I think especially in rural Maine, where we have an even older population than the state average or mm-hmm. the national average, the library as a meeting place, as a place to connect. Do you have job information for people who might want to work when they're older?
We certainly help a lot of people apply for jobs, and we can provide some of that. You know, if they need help searching online for job openings, we can certainly do some of that.
That's really good, because mm-hmm. more people over 65 will be working, yep. whether or not they really want to,
right.
and resources for that would be extremely useful. Mm-hmm. What a wealth of information. Amy, thank you so much for providing it.
Thank you.
Now let's turn to our musicians, Hunt and Allison, who are going to play. And we will also talk about the benefits of music for healthy aging. This is a big topic, and I'm sure other programs will discuss this too. Take it from the top.
Thank you. That was The Joys of Quebec, which is an anonymous tune, maybe from Quebec. We have heard that there are words to it, but we just love to play it sort of as an opening warm-up tune.
Very good. Makes me wonder about music at the library. There could be some programs.
We do offer some music programs.
That's good. You already do offer.
We do offer music some, yes.
All right, good. Good. Trying to make a connection here between our valued guests. Now, music and healthy aging.
Well, I'm Allison Smith, and my husband is Hunt Smith right here with us. And we live in Steuben. And it's interesting that you're having us on today, because on Friday, Hunt turns 75, and on Tuesday, I turn 60. So we both qualify as aging people.
You do.
And we do. And we have found that the music that we play and the music that we do and share with our various communities keeps us feeling young, keeps us feeling vibrant, keeps us feeling needed, keeps us connected. So that's just the beginning. That's just from our own personal
yes.
experience.
Well, I took up the fiddle when I was 60.
Really?
So it's never too late.
Never too late.
Never too late.
No. And that's one of the things we've learned. We met when Hunt was 62. And I guess that means...
On the internet.
On the internet, yes.
We're modern.
Yes, Match. We're modern a-go-go people. It was greensingles.com.
Greensingles.
And we both were there because we're both sort of, I suppose you could say, aging hippies in a way. And that seemed to be the place that where there were more people who understood who we were. So that's another thing that it's never too late for. And... Hunt had recently picked up the fiddle, and when we met, we started out as a couple and quickly became a duo, and I was playing keyboard, and Hunt was playing fiddle and guitar and other things, and he said, you know, an accordion would really sound great. So we found an accordion somewhere, and I started learning at 48 years of age. So
those are great examples. Great examples.
So that's just the beginning. You were asking about the benefits of music for aging, and I'm a little bit embarrassed having a librarian right here that I can't cite my sources, but we've done quite a bit of reading, mostly online, on the benefits of aging. It is very clear through many studies that the brain actually, the synapses fire much more fluidly and connect when people are engaged in either.
My synapses are firing right now.
I can see them.
Yes.
But brains remain more flexible and vital for much longer, whether you're engaged in listening to music, performing music, attending live music events. But most importantly, there's a community connection as well. How Peg and I met was at the Dorcas Library, which you mentioned a few minutes ago. Faith Lane, the librarian there, asked me to lead a song circle for 6 weeks, the end of summer overlapping into the beginning, post-Labor Day, of the beginning of the fall season. And we had our last session last night, and it was mostly attended, I would say almost entirely attended, by people who would identify with the demographic that this show is addressing.
Yes.
And it really was a wonderful way to connect. And we'd sit around a table and sing songs. And at the end of a song, we'd just all look at each other with great big smiles and feel the connection that the singing gave us. And it didn't matter whether we were singing Girl Scout songs or sea shanties or rounds or any old song. It was the connection that the music gave us.
I told Allison at the beginning of this series that I hadn't sung in a group since Girl Scout camp, and that was in the 50s, and people gasped to think how long ago that was. We talked on another program about brain plasticity and the capacity of the brain to grow new cells. I would suppose music would be one of the best ways
to do that.
And no question.
Musicians tend to live long. Obviously, this is a generalization, but when you think of the conductors of the symphonies like Toscanini, who lived a long time, I think George Schulte, another example, and the people who are in those orchestras, in those symphonies, many times they live a long time.
Absolutely right. Do you have anything to add about that? I tend to be the one who talks too much.
It's a self-serving statement. I hope you are correct. Yes, I mean, I feel pretty good. Music has always been everything to me. I can't remember a time when it wasn't. So and I think you and I, Allison and I, communicate musically definitely.
All the time. Yeah. I'd like to address another aspect of this. My first auditory memories are of my father with his hi-fi playing classical music. And my father died 11 years ago of complications related to Alzheimer's. And I went to visit him probably two or three years before he died. And he was in a pretty advanced stage. He was still mobile, but he wasn't quite sure who I was. He knew he had known me a long time ago and that I was probably a family member, but I kept sort of, I was sometimes my mother, I was his, sometimes other people, but he knew I was a connection from his past. And then I started singing the songs I remembered as doing as a child, old hymns. I had brought some recordings of some of the music that he had turned me on to as a young person, and he just woke up. And for a while, we went for a long drive in the car one day, and he was right there with me, listening to the music, singing the songs. The music was still there. And I think that's another very important thing for those of us who are worried about our memory loss as we get older, which happens to everybody, that if you keep music in your life and maybe go back and see whether you go to your local library or online and look for music that had meaning for you as a child or as a teenager, you'll find that you have that still in you. It never goes away. And don't be afraid to sing the songs. Don't be afraid to play the music. Don't do dust off that clarinet that's still that's under your bed. And don't be afraid to squeak and squawk it. Just make the music.
Yes.
Don't judge yourself by today's professional standards. Just make the music. It'll keep you young.
It's a wonderful point. There's been some research recently to document the benefits of music for people with Alzheimer's. The pioneer in this area is a woman named Ann Basting, who's at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And I had an experience with a friend who had dementia, who was in the Jewish Home for the Aged in San Francisco. And she got confused, obviously. But when the time came for the Jewish service on Friday, Erna remembered every word to every song. And that was the first time I realized the importance of music in late life and how those early melodies and songs can stay with us.
I'd like to put another plug in, because for a while when we lived in New Hampshire, Hunt and I played music and led sing-alongs for a Parkinson's support group.
Whoa.
And as we get older, one of the problems that can emerge is Parkinson's and related disorders. Apparently, there's been actually, I had read some of it at the time. There's been a great deal of research since then on the benefits of singing and dancing, by the way, which we also do, to people who are dealing with Parkinson's in their lives. And if there's a singing group near you, a chorus or a church choir, and you're concerned about various aspects of health that you're struggling with, there's no way it can hurt. And it's going to help you in some way, even
the
reaching out and making connections.
I suppose recovery from illness when we're middle-aged or older would also be helped by music. I've heard that a friend of mine had a serious operation, and the surgeon played loud rock music, and that was definitely not conducive to her healing. But the all-powerful surgeon got to say what music he wanted to perform.
In the operating
but I've theory. Heard, too, that flute music during surgery or other very, very soft music would do the opposite. It would enhance the healing process. And when you're out of the hospital and home, perhaps a similar benefit.
I think I had a procedure where the medical staff actually asked me what music I would like to have playing.
Excellent.
During the procedure.
Excellent. Free choice.
What you're really saying is that, in fact, the mind and body are connected.
Yes.
They're not separate entities.
Yes. Yeah. That's the heart, isn't it? That's the core insight for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Anything you'd like to add, Amy?
Well, I'll just add quickly, not from a library perspective, but I used to sing in a hospice choir and when I lived in Vermont a few years ago. And that was just such a rewarding experience. And we found that so we would do bedside sings, and people who were nearing the end of life, their families could invite us to do a sing. And we found that that was such a powerful connection, both for the person who was dying and also for the family members, just to bring them together through music. And we did find that some people, even when they were just not even quite with it, could just remember the music and start to almost mouth the words and sing along. I have experienced that, just that amazing connection that music can make.
I probably know that choir, and mm-hmm. I led a hospice choir in New Hampshire that was inspired by the Vermont choir, and mm-hmm. We found in our region not as many calls to sit and sing with the actively dying, although that did happen several times, but we moved into nursing homes and people's houses for birthday parties or just because a shut-in needed a pick-me-up, and it was just an incredible gift. So
one of the things I've always enjoyed is when we have gone and played in nursing homes.
Oh, yeah.
Because it just the look on the people's faces, music.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's the best.
Hospice choirs, do we have them in our part of Maine?
I believe we do, and I don't think it's quite as active as in Vermont, but I, yeah.
It's great to know that the one you were in inspired the one in the neighbor state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's the one that I'm thinking of in the Brattleboro area, maybe?
This one was in the Upper Valley.
So oh, could, yeah, okay. Yeah. I think there have been a few Brattleboro area, Connecticut River Valley up and down that kind of started it all in this country, mm-hmm. and it's been a really wonderful thing.
Yeah. If we could only get people into hospice sooner, as you all know, that's a problem for if the average is about 2 weeks in some places. If it were much longer than that, there'd be no more opportunities for these positive experiences. I think there's a group called Evensong in Maine. I don't know where I heard about them, but I remember hearing about them, that if the person requests a song and they don't know it, they will learn it. And sometimes they will practice in the parking lot outside the apartment building or the home where the person who's requested the music, where they live.
Another thing we do is contra dancing and barn dancing, which is accessible for all ages. And we find that the contra dance in Cherryfield is a very mixed aged group, but I'd say about 50% would qualify as we're all aging, yeah. but an older aging population. And how about if we play a set from our contra dance repertoire, some Irish jigs, and then maybe you could talk about the fiddle or something after that.
Uh-huh. That's good, and we'll take call-ins as soon as that tune is over. The call-in number here, WERU, is 1-866-625-9378.
9378.
Thanks.
It's too small for our aging eyes.
You have a point there.
Two and two.
Listeners can guess what that means. Let's see if your aging brains can pick up on what that means. Thank you.
Thank you, Hunt and Allison. We have a call from Sue in Bucksport. Hello, Sue. Welcome to All About Aging.
Good morning. I just wanted to confirm that there has been a hospice volunteer chorus in in Hancock County for many years. It's a program offered by Hospice Volunteers of Hancock County, whose headquarters are in Ellsworth, who's tonight having their annual meeting, at which the closing will be with the Evensong Singers. If anyone is interested, it's a wonderful experience. They sing for hospice patients in their homes, in their nursing homes, at their memorial services, at annual gatherings to memorialize all the hospice patients who have been seen by the volunteers. Their number is 667-2531, or you can email info@hospiceofhancock.org.
That's wonderful information, Sue. Thank you. And fits in with exactly what we were talking about. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Now, I was thinking about music and aging, that the benefit, partly, one of the many benefits, is the joy, the sheer fun and joy of singing music and playing music. And I suppose some of us have not had that kind of sheer fun and play since we were kids, because we've had hard-working lives. We've had some pleasurable experiences, of course, many fun experiences. But the sheer joy of singing has come to me recently, thanks to Allison's group. And I think there's a lot to be known about the benefits in late life of having a good time, fun, 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 fun. A friend of mine has a band called Nothing But Fun.
I think having fun, basically my theory is, if it isn't fun, don't do it. Do something else.
Really, that's a good motto, yes. If it's not fun, do something else.
I'd like to speak to that, something you alluded to in your comment about it. So many people in our society now have been conditioned to think that if they don't have a professional quality singing voice or play an instrument with ease and professional quality, they shouldn't even bother. We've been so conditioned by radio, television, movies, the internet, the professional, and even by things like American Idol, and that elevate the quality of what is supposed to be music, where we've lost that singing together in the car or sitting around the table and just singing songs. It's a really important part of what it means to be human. And, for example, last night at our singing circle, I was saying goodbye because Hunt and I will be away for a few weeks, and the group was saying, well, should we get together anyway? Can we do it without a leader? Can we do it without Allison? And I was, of course you can. Everyone in that group can sing in tune. Everyone in that group likes each other, I think. And, of course, you can sing together, and you don't need a leader to do it. So what I'm hoping the listeners of this particular program today will come away with is, yeah, maybe I'll just try to remember that old doo-wop song when I used to stand on the street corner with my pals, or whatever song that you can
whatever,
think of.
Whatever, yes. I confess to being one who was socially conditioned, as you mentioned, to think,
most
why bother, since I don't have, in my estimation anyway, I certainly don't have a trained voice, but it's been really wonderful to think that singing can be done by people who don't call themselves singers.
We're all singers.
We're all singers. Thank you, Allison.
Everyone is a singer. And there are people who tell me, oh, I can't carry a tune in a paper bag. And who cares? Sing anyway.
Right.
Sing
right.
Your own song.
Yeah.
I hope many people who are over 60 or over 65 listening to our program will think, oh, I could do that. Or say to a friend, you could do that.
If I can play the fiddle, anybody can. Anybody.
There was a movie maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago called Young at Heart, using an ampersand for the at. And it's about a chorus in, I think, Northampton, Massachusetts. And it was a younger director who got together with some significantly older people and put together a wonderful chorus. And I suppose there's probably, especially here in Maine, with our gray population, I think there's a potential for that in this region too. But it doesn't take, again, it doesn't take a professional. It just takes a group of people who want to sing together.
Yes, I know Scudic Arts for All has a summer chorus. Mm-hmm. They play perhaps sometimes into the fall. But I've heard them. They're wonderful. I just never identified with them before your circuit.
There's also a wonderful chorus in Blue Hill run by Meg, is it Chittenden? I think, and they take all ages, and they're, I think, 80 singers, so your voice blends right in there. You won't stand out.
Yes.
And she does a wonderful job with them. I'll try to get you that information for a future announcement.
Very good. The Bagadoos Chorale, I suppose you auditioned for.
And there's also the Acadia Chorus.
The Acadia Chorus, yes.
I don't know if they take auditions. They're they do... classical choral repertoire and show tunes in the spring, and they're a great chorus as well. So there's lots of opportunities.
I'm thinking, too, of the energy of singing. For example, in the Civil Rights Movement, we sang We Shall Overcome in the Circle last night, and it was amazing how we all knew all the words.
It was right there. We don't lose the music. It's always there. It's in there somewhere.
In there somewhere. Good. Good.
We sometimes, Allison and I, will say to each other, what tune is playing in your head? And the other person will say the name of the tune, and the other one will say, okay, you take the high part, I'll take the low part. And we do the whole thing, and there was never a sound.
We did that on the phone before we even met face to face.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Really? Really? Yeah. And you met at a music event?
No, we met online.
Oh, online, that's right, you said online. Yeah.
Greensingles.com.
Greensingles.com.
Yeah.
Very good.
A great source. And a significant older population is on there, I think.
Let's give your contact information.
We'd love to hear from people who are interested in how to make music or finding out how we can help them make music. Our email address is huntandallison. That's HUNTANDALLISON. @gmail.com. We also have a website, huntandallison.net, www.huntandallison.net. And if you go there, you can find out the various activities we're up to, and also that our contact information is also there.
That's very good. Do you want to repeat that just for our listeners?
The website is www.huntandallison.net. That's HUNTANDALLISON. That's Allison with two L's. And our email address is also huntandallison@gmail.com.
How about the Ellsworth Public Library email address?
Sure. So my email address, if anyone would like to contact me, is director@ellsworthlibrary.net. And our website is ellsworthlibrary.net, and we have access to a lot of our resources online, including digital audiobooks and ebooks. We have, speaking of music, we have streaming music that you can download online, and a lot of various services. If you want our general email, it's eplinfo@ellsworthlibrary.net.
Ellsworth Library. We don't have to say public. ElsworthLibrary.net. That's good. That's very good. How about another tune?
Well, let's do The Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
It's an old Morris dance tune. We'll tell you about that afterwards.
Tell briefly what Morris dance is.
Morris dance is an English traditional dance. Shakespeare and Chaucer both mentioned morrising as a type of dance, although nobody really knows how far back it goes. It's unlike contra dancing or square dancing. Morris dancing is a display dance. So people get together and practice and then go to events and perform for an audience. We happen to have a Morris team in Cherryfield, and there are all ages, including I think the oldest dancer is in his 70s, and the next youngest is my age, 60. And we're always open to new members, so you can go to our contact information about that. And well, our first performance will be at the Cherryfield Academy's Fall Festival on October 19th at 1 p.m., if you're curious about Morris dancing.
What day of the week is that?
That's a Saturday.
Saturday.
And the Cherryfield Fall Festival is just such a great event anyway. There's all kinds of things for all ages.
Thank you.
So we will play a Morris tune, The Cuckoo's Nest. And two times? Two times through?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hunt and Allison. Does that Morris dance have a title?
Cuckoo's Nest.
Cuckoo's Nest. That's right. You announced that before.
The tunes and the dances usually have the same name in the Morris tradition.
Very good. The thought that it goes back to Chaucer's era, which, as I recall, might be 13th century. Later?
14th century? 14th?
Okay. Long time ago.
Yeah. This tune does not date that far back. And in fact, Chaucer never saw an accordion or heard one. More's the pity.
Really?
The accordion dates back from the middle of the 19th century.
Okay, so it's more recent. Just think.
We are relieved to hear that.
Very good. We're taking calls this morning on All About Aging, WERU. The phone number for call-ins, if you have questions or comments for Amy about the library or Hunt and Allison about music, the number is 866-625-9378. We have time for another tune.
Well, one other tune, or will there be time for another tune?
Another other tune.
All right, so we'll do an Irish dance that we've done at library programs, at family dances, barn dances. This is an Irish jig called The Sweets of May.
The Sweets of May.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The Sweets of May from Hunt and Allison.
I'd like to put in a plug because even though your topic today doesn't specifically address dancing.
Yes.
Dancing is inextricably entwined with much music.
Yes.
The first tune we did today, The Joys of Quebec, we first played at a bunch of farmers markets in New Hampshire, and we found that we had our tip jar out, and two things happened whenever we played that tune. People walking by, children, vendors would all start dancing, just spontaneously would start dancing to that music. Second thing, of course, was the tip jar got more full during that song. And the rule of thumb when you're busking is if people put more money during a tune, you play that tune again. But dancing is another integral part of the human spirit. Babies dance before they walk and sing before they talk. And it's another thing that we've often lost unless we're at a wedding or nightclubbing or something, which we do less and less of as our bedtime gets earlier and earlier. But there are community dances. I know in the Belfast area, there's wonderful community dances there. Belfast Flying Shoes is an organization that sponsors many, many community dances. And in Cherryfield, we are having the Contra Dance and the Morris Dance, and Hunt and I, in fact, travel around giving dances all over the place. We recently played at Finn Hall in Monson at a community dance there this summer, and just it was a delightful community, a great mix of ages and abilities. And if you can walk, you can dance. And if you can't walk, most community dances will accommodate you in some way. There was a very elderly man at Finn Hall who was just gently handled from partner to partner, and people just loved having him dance, and he clearly had a fabulous time. And there was a four-year-old dancing too, and at one point the two of them danced together.
That's great.
And I would urge people to find whatever style of dancing moves them and get their bodies moving again, because that helps the brain enormously. And just one more thing, because I do talk a lot, we've been talking about the benefits to the brain and the body and the social aspects and all those things, but music has a value because it's music. All by itself, it doesn't need any justification.
Right.
And so does dance. They're both just good to do because they are music and dance, and I don't want to underemphasize that. That's the main reason to do music and dance, because they're music and dance, and they're important for what they are.
That's very good. Think of babies dancing before they can.
Think of a baby pulling itself up on the crib.
Yeah.
What do? They jiggle up and down, or they wave their hands in the high chair. They're dancing.
I'm thinking, too, of people in wheelchairs who could do some kind of dance movement in a circle, for example. I'm not well informed about that possibility.
Oh, yes.
But I'd like to think that loss of legs wouldn't eliminate you from being able to dance in
one
some
of the
form.
One of the most moving experiences we had once was at a camp for special needs children and their families. So there were grandparents with limited mobility. There were children in those enormous wheelchairs that require an aid to, and we did our dance repertoire that made it inclusive for all of the participants. And it was absolutely glorious. I think there were 60 or 70 dancers, including the wheelchairs and the aides and the family members. And the smiles and the joy in that room were absolutely infectious.
That's a good example. I'm thinking we should turn to our song about aging.
Yes. This was the song that started it all.
This is Pete Seeger, but it may have been other people who wrote it or sang it. Or
the story is that Pete was an alive Seeger. We have to tune. Pete was in a restaurant with his family, and a waiter recognized him and handed him on a napkin some words to a poem that he thought Pete might like. And Pete tried very hard to trace the author of the poem, but found that there were so many different sources claiming authorship that he realized it had been folk processed to death. And so he made up a tune that was inspired by one of the Harvard fight songs. So it's a completely, and he considered the song completely public domain.
Good.
And so it's not it's a Pete song filtered. It's filtered through Pete Seeger.
And imagine this is for some folk songs that would also be the case, wouldn't it?
Filters oh, many, many and revisions. Folk songs. Sure.
All right, here we go. Get up and go, Hunt and Allison.
Old age is golden, so I've heard it said. But sometimes I wonder as I crawl into bed. My ears in a drawer, my teeth in a cup, my eyes on the table until I wake up. As sleep dims my vision, I say to myself, is there anything else I should put on the shelf? Though nations are warring and business is vexed, I'll stick around to see what happens next. How do I know my youth is all spent? My get up and go has got up and went. But in spite of it all, I'm able to grin and think of the places my get up has been. When I was young, my slippers were red. I could kick up my heels right over my head. When I was older, my slippers were blue. But still I could dance the whole night through. Now I am older, my slippers are black. I huff to the store and I puff my way back. But never you laugh, I don't mind at all. I'd rather be huffing than not puff at all. How do I know my youth is all spent? My get up and go has gone up and went. But in spite of it all, I'm able to grin and think of the places my get up has been.
I get up each morning and dust off my wits, open the paper and read the obits. If I'm not there, I know I'm not dead. So I eat a good breakfast and roll back to bed. How do I know my youth is all spent? My get up and go has got up and went. In spite of it all, I'm able to grin and think of the places my get up has been.
That's a great song. Have you heard any variations of that song?
Oh, sure, yeah. A lot of people do. I remember I first heard it, the group, the great folk group, the Weavers. That's the first yes. time I heard it. But I've heard a lot of people sing it.
Uh-huh. The Kingston and Trio might have done
no,
it.
They
no,
never
oh,
did
they
it.
Never did.
They never did it. They weren't old enough.
Well, that line about I'd rather be huffing and puffing than not puffing at all.
Right.
That's a great line. And to think about all the places my get up has been. That, for a little analysis here, the larger
for aging
analysis,
hippies, that's saying something.
It's the continuity, isn't it? The aging, the hippies yeah. are still here.
Yes, they are.
Aging.
We sure are.
But the continuity, but my get up has been all these wonderful places, and I can think about them and claim them and be glad about them. So that's a great song.
Yeah, I think song. One of the things that music can help with is that old devil nostalgia. Because you can get really trapped in, woe is me, the past was better than the present, and I wish things were the way they used to
they
be.
They used to be, right.
But if you've got music and dance and other forms of creativity in your life, you can be present right here and enjoy, be grateful for the past and enjoy the present moment.
That's a great philosophy, and I think it's good to think of that. As we get older, the living in the present moment and finding the pleasure and the joy or sense of usefulness to other people, too, when we're old. Anything you'd like to add about music and aging, your own trajectory?
Oh, I just the important thing to me is anyone who thinks they can't do it anymore, they can do it. They can,
yes. Yes, there are a lot of social messages that we can't, or we should give up, or we should make way for the younger generations who are eager to get our jobs.
Well, the younger generation have a place, but another thing that I learned, I started playing accordion at about the same time I started getting arthritic, and I learned use it or lose it. My arthritis has gone away from playing music.
That is amazing.
I started making violins when I was 65. This violin I've been playing, I made.
Really?
And, if you want to do something, go out and do it. Don't worry about it. Just do it.
That's very good advice. You've been listening to All About Aging, a public affairs program on WERU. Your host has been Peg Cruikshank. Tune in again on the third Wednesday of the month at 10 a.m. for more on aging. Thanks to engineer Amy Brown. And now, stay tuned for On the Wing with Will.